Well, welcome everybody to a special You Are There Sports broadcast regarding the retirement of Hall of Fame Pierce Pioneer football coach Leo Polkamp. Leo has decided to retire after 33 years at the helm of the Pioneers. Visited with Leo and several members of his staff today, which is Tuesday, by the way, when this interview was held. I was kind of notified that something was in the air late Tuesday morning, and by afternoon it had become a reality that the rumor was indeed true. Well, it was more than a rumor, but it was factual. And Coach Polkamp addressed his 2018 team around 3:30 this afternoon, breaking the news to them that he would not be back for the 2019 season, as the team had today planned to turn in their equipment after the semifinal loss to Rochester Lourdes. They were not sure they were expecting to receive that word today, but that is the word that comes down as Coach Polkamp steps aside, and who knows what will happen in the immediate future. But I had a chance to visit with a couple of the longtime assistants for Coach Polkamp. I had one of his coaches and kind of his boss, Activities Director Dave Rushel, but for whatever reason, the interview was very muffled. Didn't come out. Dave, I apologize for that. Dave, I guess just to kind of paraphrase, if I can remember a couple of questions from that interview, you know, Dave mentioned just how much he learned from Coach and how class was at the utmost of everything the program always represented. And I asked Dave, you know, the big question you're going to get as activities director is what's next? Who's going to fill that role now as head coach of the Pioneers? And Dave said that he likely will, you know, the job will be opened up and we'll see what applications come in and it'll go from there. But I'm sure he will have his hands full, and I'm sure several high quality candidates will apply. It's a very, very rosy program, or you know, inviting program to maybe take over here, as the Pioneers have certainly had a strong run of success here. But you know, it's as I walked around the building, you could just tell in the eyes and the glances of people, and maybe verbally visiting with some folks, is it real? Is it true? Did it, you know, is Leo retiring? And I did my best, you know, confirm. Yeah, we sat down, we talked, and he told the team, and he visited with his coaches and the administration, and it's official. Leo is done after 33 years as the head coach. Three Prep Bowl state championships. Who will ever forget those? The 2004, 2015, 2017 state champions. But more than the wins and losses, and there were 276 wins. There was a Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The state coach of the year, not just class AAA, class AA. I mean, any class coach of the year. Leo won that award a couple years ago. He'll talk about that in his interview, which you're going to hear in just a little bit. But, you know, it's a sad day, I think, for a lot of people that just love the Pioneer football program, like so many of us do. But for Coach, I got the sense, just visiting with him, that he was ready, and it was a good decision, and he was comfortable with it. And I would say, 100% his choice. There was no, you know, mutual agreement type thing. It was all on Leo. Matter of fact, if anything, a lot of people on his staff or administration probably said, "No, Leo, don't do it. Don't do it." You know, as a matter of fact, that is one thing that Dave Rushel said, that when I asked him what was your reaction when Leo walked into your office this morning and turned in his resignation, and Dave said, "No, no, 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 no." But it was, in fact, a decision that I think Leo is very satisfied with and is comfortable with. So we're happy. We're happy for Leo. We're sad for us, because we won't have Leo guiding our football program anymore. But we'll enjoy the memories that he provided over his brilliant career. So I did visit with And some of these interviews did turn out, and we're going to start here talking with a former player of his and the Pioneer coaching staff that has grown under Coach Polkamp. Here is filled with former Pioneers that played under Leo and now are coaching under Leo. And one of those, of course, is Dan Sayre, who was a starting quarterback, an all-star for Leo during his high school career, and now has been on Leo's staff for the last 17 years, and most notably handling the defensive side of the ball for a good portion of his tenure. So let's check in with Coach Sayre and his thoughts, a brief 3-4 minute interview here with Dan and his thoughts on the retirement of Coach Leo Polkamp. Dan Sayre, word comes today. Coach Polkamp has decided to call it a career. Your initial thoughts on the word of Leo's announcement?
Sad, Rick. You know, I'll be honest. Leo's a living legend in my eyes in many ways. Obviously, a lot of people around here know him as coach, and I guess on my end, I was fortunate enough to play for him for 4 years, and first year at high school, he asked me to come back and help coach, and here I am 17 years later, and there's no doubt in my mind the reason I'm started to coach and continuing to coach is because of Leo. And you know, there's no words to describe him besides class. Everything he does, he represents himself with the class, the community, is proud of what he's accomplished. And you know, obviously it's been a topic on his mind, I think, for a few years now. And you know, I think at times he felt like, well, somebody else can have it. It's like, no, Leo, we want you to keep going. And he talked to us coaches today, and he just said it was time. You know, he just felt it was time to step down. And, you know, he has a number of reasons, which are all positive reasons. There's no negative reasons. But he felt it was time to step down. And respect to him, you got to respect that.
You mentioned you played under Leo. Quarterback for this Pioneer team, all-star coming out of the football program. How is it different playing for and then coaching for a coach?
You know, Leo, he is who you're talking to and who you see. There is nothing fake about him. He's as genuine as they get. You know, when I was, you know, playing for him, he had high expectations, and coaching for him, he had high expectations. And I guess it's a huge thanks to my end for him really allowing us as coaches to coach. I mean, he turns the reins over to us in a lot of things that we do, and he has final say in everything we do and every game plan we put together, but he truly allows us to coach. You know, call plays on defense, myself, you know, let Dave Russell call plays on offense, and not too often do you see where, you know, head coaches really allow their assistants to coach like he did. And you know, hats off to him, and I think he's very proud that a number of Pierce alumni came back and coached underneath him. And everybody asked, why are so many coaches coaching football? Said, well, first of all, majority of them are volunteers, and the biggest reason is because they love Pioneer football, and it all starts with Coach Polkamp.
You are a head coach in the district here, the head coach of the Pierce Pioneer baseball team. What lessons or characteristics did you try maybe and borrow or steal from Leo to influence your coaching style?
Ton of things. First of all, you know, he always says, kids, you're a role model, you know, whether you like it or not, when you put on a jersey, you know, younger kids look up to you, and expectations are higher for you in the community, on the field, in the classroom, and rightfully so. You're held to a higher standard, and I remember that as a player for him, and I continually preach to our kids on the baseball field, you know, the football kids that we talk to, you know, and just the class part of it. You know, you win with class, you lose with class. You know, I know he said a lot of times, sometimes you find the true character in a kid when times are tough, and I'm constantly preaching that, and there's probably a number of other things that I do or say, and it came from him, and I'm not even knowing it. Just because you're around him for so long, you hear so many cliches he has, and he has a number of them. Our coaching staff, we can predict a lot of comments coming from him throughout the year just because we've been around him so long.
Dan, thank you so much.
Thanks, Rick.
Right. Dan Sayre, one of the members of Coach Leo Polkamp's staff.
Yeah, Coach Sayre, like a lot of guys on that staff I mentioned, played under Leo, now coach under Leo. I mean, yeah, they've certainly seen a long relationship develop with Coach. When I was talking with Leo then afterwards, we had finished up the interview and we were, you know, just basically just chatting and shooting the breeze. And one guy I didn't get a chance, he wasn't there, I'm sure he was working, was Pat Watercott. And Pat is a dear, dear friend of Leo's, and they're very close. And Leo made the comment, and I want to give Pat credit because I know Pat has done so much for Leo as far as running the junior high program and such. But Leo made the comment, I thought it's very true, when he was discussing his retirement, why he felt it was a good time, and you know, all the thoughts that went into it. And he says, yeah, you know, I felt good. And he had discussed his decision earlier today, kind of let Pat Watercott know that this was going to be happening and coming down the pike today. Leo made the comment that, you know, I told Pat that you start him and I finish him, since Pat is the runs that junior high program, and Leo, of course, on the other end of the program on the varsity level. So I thought that was just a few word statement, but it spoke volumes. The close relationship that not just Pat, but Rick and Dave and Danny and the younger coaches. I mean, you go back, John Helly was on the staff, Dean Damon, Adam Langer. I mean, people have either left the program or gone to other schools or such. But and now the new group that is there is also been able to feel the relationship built between Leo. He was very, very willing to give. Some coaches aren't so much willing to hand over control of a program the way I saw Leo develop that. And he certainly allowed his coaches to coach. And I think that was one of his most valuable attributes, was his willingness and ability to surround himself with good coaches and let them do what they do. And we've seen the results over the years. And those new guys, that new crop of students, the Matt Peppings, the Corey Egans, the Andy Leidenfrost, the Scott Sayers, the Jeremy Munsons, those all, you know, they all wore Pioneer uniforms in the not too distant past. And now they are kind of picking up the torch, and I'm sure they will continue to do so as their careers in the coaching ranks grow. And I'm certainly the lessons they learned from Leo Polkamp will carry them far and do them well. Maybe one of the guys that was with Coach the longest, Rick Shibluski, another longtime Pioneer and a Hall of Fame coach in his own right. It's not the first time I've seen a Hall of Fame coach step aside. John Helly with the baseball program. Rick Shibluski with the girls basketball program is in, and I'm not talking the Peers Hall of Fame, I'm talking the state Coaches Hall of Fame. John's in the H is in the Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame. Rick is in the Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame. Leo, most recently inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. So Rick certainly knows kind of what was happening inside, internally, with Leo as he was making this decision. And again, the start of this interview is a little muffled, but it does clear up as we get going. But let's check in with Rick Shibluski and his thoughts on retiring coach Leo Polkamp. Longtime assistant to Leo Polkamp, Rick Shibluski. And Rick, your thoughts on the announcement today from Leo that stepping down.
Well, it's a sad day in my mind because he's a good man. He's a great coach and a great role model. Just
class all the way. And I guess we talk, it's inevitable that people
call it a career, but
you never really want to see it happen. It just makes
it's a sense of loss, empty feeling for me.
You can, I'm sure, empathize with Leo because you had to make that same decision, step down from a Hall of Fame career. So you're more than anybody probably know what was going on inside of Leo as he came
to this decision.
You know, sometimes
you know it's time. In my case, I wanted to see my daughter play in college, and it was time for me in that regard. You don't want to leave a different coach with a you know, a system where it's going to be broken and it needs to be filled, replaced. And I felt like when I went out, it was in that situation. And Leo's got the same thing now. Whoever takes the head job will have a really good nucleus of seniors. We have a great group of kids with a lot of experience. We've got some kids in our program at the lower levels that have played some, and we'll be ready to go when the time comes. But it's always a tough decision. But I think Leo's got some family issues too, and some health issues, and his body breaking down, and it happens as you get older. You don't have to tell me about it.
A staff that was together for decades, you know, parts of the core of it, I mean, you really do become kind of a band of brothers.
Oh, we're very close. We do a lot of things together, talk a lot. And that's part of success, I think, is just you have continuity, that people that you work with really care about each other, and they care about more than what you do on the football field or in the basketball court or whatever sports or activities you're in. They care about you as people. We always, we've gotten along, always gotten along. We discuss things sometimes heatedly, but, you know, it's because we care. And I know one of Leo's best quotes, and I'll never forget this, was he asked the coach from Rockford why he was quitting. And he said, his reply was, I got sick of teaching, having to re-coach my coaches every year. Leo lets his coaches coach because he has confidence that they're doing the right thing. And I think our success has shown because of that, that he's willing to split responsibilities and accept that those people that are in charge of that know what the heck they're doing.
Longtime assistant to Leo Polkamp, Rick Shabluski, on his thoughts and comments on the announced retirement of Leo Polkamp on Tuesday, the 33-year Hall of Fame head football coach of the Pioneers, stepping down with that announcement today. So I guess there's nothing else to do but to listen to a visit with the man himself. Let's join the interview now with Leo Polkamp.
Joined by Coach Leo Polkamp. And Coach, this is the interview I never wanted to do, but big day for you. Decision to about your status as head coach of the Pierce Pioneer football team.
You know, when I got the job, I was so excited. I kind of hoped that I could be a head coach one day. I was 6 years as an assistant under Steve Doy, and when I got the coaching head coaching job, you never knew how long it would last. Little did I know it would go on for 33 years. It was a great run, lots of great memories, and I enjoyed coaching every one of those players and every one of those teams.
Would you care to go into some of the things that went into your decision to retire?
Probably, I have to say, is my health. I don't get around as good as I can, you know, going up steps and doing a lot of those things, that putting gear away and other things, standing on the sideline, probably I can handle that. But physically, when you're 65 years old, things slow down. I put my heart and soul into it every year, and I just thought that it was time to step by and let a young guy take over.
Knowing you, I know this decision is never about reaching a certain number of wins or number of years coach or any personal milestones, was it?
I never set to how long I would coach. You know, once you get going and you have some success, and even there's some tough years along the way, but you do it for the kids. And then I formed a tremendous coaching staff. You know, I had Rick Shabluski with me, and then Dave Rushlow came on board, and you knew Danny Sayre. You know, Coach Damon was with me for a while, and I always have some young coaches, you know. You know, and Matt Pepping and Corey Egan and Andy Leidenfrost and going on, Scotty Sayre and Coach Strohmeyer. I developed a relationship with all these coaches that was just awesome. And it kind of keeps you going. You know, you're quite a bit older than them, but to keep that fire going, they certainly stoked it for me.
You just got done, as we record this, addressing your 2018 team, breaking the news to them. Would you share a part of the message and maybe how you felt they responded?
Well, I just told them that it was a great run, and I appreciate all the hard work that they did. And one thing they did is they kept the Pierce tradition going. A great group to coach. And I said, you know, and I look at Pierce coaching, and yes, I was the head coach, but it was we as coaches, and we have some great assistant coaches that will take over. And I don't want them to fear about next year that I'm not there. I said, you guys are going to be fine. You're going to be coached well. Go do the work to get better for next year.
That will be the main question that Pioneer fans will ask, and you'll probably hear it more than anybody, is, you know, what's next? Who's taking over? How do you answer that?
I would say that right now it's probably going to come within their staff. You know, I think Danny Sayre would be a very capable coach for us, could consider. I don't think Rick Chmielewski, being that he's upper in age, you know, he would take it. But, you know, Matt Pepe and Corey Egan, will they apply for it? I don't know. But there will become a good candidate and someone to take over the program and do well.
Leo, take us back to your days just out of college. What influenced you to become a coach?
Probably, I want to say, I didn't get the chance to play sports until I was in high school. I loved growing up around playing baseball and basketball, but we didn't have the opportunity because we grew up in a big family on a farm. And I got a chance to play football, and of course, I played 2 years at Piers, and then I went on to St. Cloud State. And you kind of fall in love with that sport, and I came back to Piers, and of course, there was an opening. You know, I was actually coaching eighth grade football for 6 years, along with being the defensive coordinator on the varsity. And we had success, and it just grew the love of coaching kids to see them develop, you know, taking them from coming in, you know, even as an eighth grader, you know, they're starting to like the game and figure it out, and you can take them to another level. And I think at Piers, the kids that I coached got better and better, and I'm proud of that.
Harvey Krobel, Steve Dooley, who you worked underneath and took over from, I imagine Coach Dooley was a great influence on you.
Absolutely. You know, even Coach Gravel, I had him as my high school coach. A lot of respect for him. He treated people fairly, the right way. And then I came as an assistant under Steve Julian, and Steve was all about good morals, good values, growing up to be fine citizens. And I kind of took that philosophy and said, hey, not only these kids, we want to be good football players, but number one, good human beings. We want them to develop into nice young men as they grow up and go on into their lives. And I think hopefully we've influenced quite a few.
I think one of the things that people don't always realize is the fact that you just don't show up on Friday night game nights. I mean, that's just not the way it works. You know, there's so much mundane everyday stuff that goes on behind the scenes when you're a head coach.
It's a lot of behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about is fitting these kids with gear and finding, keeping everything organized and running practices. And you just don't show up. If people could follow me or any of my assistants around to realize how dedicated they are and wanting these young men to succeed. And I think we go about our business very professionally. Our coaching staff gets along so well and helpful to each other, and that's why I kept on going, because I had very helpful young assistants too.
I think the theme was true with Coach Jensen when he retired from the wrestling program, but it was more about than just technique and tactics and X's and O's and strategies, but it's life lessons and growing these young adults into young men and imparting on them some life lessons here. And you hear that all the time, that football builds character. And I would imagine that was a big part of your theory of coaching.
You know, right now, today's world, is there a lot of the fear of football, of injuries, but I think it goes beyond how much more value it does developing these kids with character, teamwork, getting along with each other. You know, football is the ultimate game, because your block depends on your block on the lineman next to you or the running back to carry the ball. It teaches, I would say it's the ultimate sport. Everything has to go right to get a perfect play in football, and that's what I was very proud of. But more importantly is these kids coming together and being very respectful. We get compliments from the refs how well our kids play, how well they play the game and are so respectful of the game. That makes me so proud.
You retired from your teaching job here at Piers a number of years ago. Did that change not your relationship with the kids, but just the fact that you didn't see them in the hallways every day? You know, you came to practice after school, was out in game nights and such, but not having that daily contact in the hallways with the guys.
And that was a concern of mine, that I lost that, because I had these kids. I was a 7th and 8th grade FIAD and health teacher, so I got to see these kids, you know, as a 7th grade, 8th grade, and continue to follow them, encourage them about football. And when I lost that, I still had Sarah in classroom yet, and I had Rick still teaching it. I was concerned about that, but it didn't become a problem, because once we got them to come out for football, then we could build that relationship.
You mentioned a little bit about your family a while ago. You come from a large family, great brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, your father, Lambert, and your sister, Colette, passed away all too soon. But you still have your mom, Marie, and I know how much she loves the Pioneers and took so much pride in your career.
Well, and then you throw in my uncle, Father Stangle, and Father Brenny. We have such a loyal fan base and what I call them team family. You know, they followed my mom until a few years ago, made it to every game. You know, when we have a golf tournament, all my sisters pitch together and put making food, potato salad, and helping out do that. They help with food for after games. It's just the family really pitched in, and I'm very thankful for that. And they've been very supportive of me in coaching, and I've never had anybody ever complain.
I would imagine those were probably your first sounding board when you were ready to make this decision.
Yes, it was. It's true. You know, when I took that job, my dad passed away before I was a head coach, you know, but my mom was always there and was very supportive and, you know, never really had to give much advice. And she was very, very positive, and I love her for that.
Obviously, family, very important. You've got young relatives, nephews, different schools. Now, you've got the opportunity now to go and see them develop as players that you didn't have on Friday nights.
Yeah, and that's what I will do is, you know, I'll try and catch as many of the Pioneer games as I can. But I've got a nephew to the north up in Brainerd and another nephew down in Lakeville North that are going to be juniors, you know, and when they, if they get playing time, well, even if it's even on a JV schedule, I'd like to go and watch at least one game of theirs because they appreciate it when you're there.
I've always loved and respected your coaching theory, you know, about a running game, strong defense, and mix in a pass once a month. The trophy case is full of hardware. That's testament to the success of that philosophy. How difficult was you as a coach to stay on that course when you were watching, you know, NFL games and college games, and even a lot of the high schools now go to spread wide open, empty backfield offenses, and everybody loves to see the ball going through the air. But, boy, not Pioneer football.
No, it's not. And I don't know where I developed that philosophy as long before even Dave came here. And it's probably from the guys like for Coach Tholey from Stillwater. And then you had Rosberg at Hutchison. You go to those clinics when I was a young coach, and they says, you got to be able to run the ball when in playoff time, and you can spread it out when you get indoors, but when you're outside, you got to have a strong running game. And I think we've got that during the season, that we run it and we run it well. We might not be the most exciting team to watch, but winning is the ultimate goal of ours, and we do it quite often.
Now that you've made the decision to retire, Leo, when you think back, you know, it's still obviously very fresh, but what do you think you'll recall the most, the thrilling wins, the hard losses, or you know, the kids, or, you know, what sticks out?
Well, every loss always hurt. I can remember that. You're never happy after a loss. But we had so many big wins. You know, you think of the three state championships. You know, every one was just as special as the other one. And we have a lot of big wins along the way, that whether it be for a conference title or a section title. And to see the kids' excitement in their eyes when you tell them, get over there and make a hog pile, we'll take a picture. Mm-hmm. I said that the picture we take at the beginning of the year, sitting like little soldiers in the stands, that goes in the district. But when we win a section title, go to state, it's going to be the random one making a pile. And it's just so cool to see that happen. And we got quite a few of those where we got to make a hog pile. I think there was like 14 or 15 state section titles. So that was kind of cool.
Those are your memories. I know, just on a personal level for me, I will never forget that first state championship in the Metrodome, and you were generous enough to make your way from the bottom of the bowels of the Metrodome up to the press box to visit me. That was before the Minnesota State High School League mandated you know, the postseason conferences and the access availability, and that will always stick with me, that your generosity that day. I remember the long embrace up there when the Pioneers had defeated Eden Valley Watkins. Have you given any thought how you expect to feel? This is a hard one, to say maybe late July, early August, when you're just after so many years of gearing up, okay, you know, it's time to start getting into, you know, practice thought mode. You know, how do you think that's going to feel?
Well, you know, it's going to it's going to hurt, or you're going to be thinking about, oh, maybe I should have not done this. I asked Ray Tri about it because I have a very close friend from me in Valley Watkins who had a great career down there, and he retired a few years ago, and he says the first year is your toughest because you feel like you have such a connection with the coaching staff and the kids. And I like I said, I'm sure once the games get going on Friday night, you'll have that longing to be there. But I think the practices you will probably won't miss as much, especially the inclement weather that you practice in. But come game time, oh yes, it'll you have that excitement for the kids.
In hindsight, do you have a proudest coaching moment? You know, was it your Hall of Fame induction? One of the three prep bowls? A team that maybe overachieved to a great extent.
You know, getting in the Hall of Fame is an honor that comes from the coaching peers. You know, I think if you're in the business long enough, you have some success, you know, whatever like that. And I was so glad for Ray Tri, I bring his name back up when he got it because very deserving. And then he retired and then you didn't hear about him. And I got that. And then maybe last year, Rick, when my family was almost all there for the Hall of Fame. That was probably my most special moment. And then probably getting the gold ball, the gold ball, as I call the football, getting recognized as the coach of the year for all the classes. And that really comes down to, it's a credit to all the kids that played for me. I didn't win a game. I just went out there and encouraged them and hoped that they play well, and they certainly did.
What would you like to say? You know, you talk about the teams you've had over the years, and there have been so many great young men and teams, and their accomplishments are legendary. All you got to do is walk, like I said, walk by their trophy case, and that says a lot about what Pioneer football has meant to this community, but to the parents and the fans that have kind of been there the whole way too.
Well, I want to thank them because I always say at the end of the year, the first people I want to thank is the parents and then my players, because the parents are the ones that support them and encourage them and then brought them up to be fine young men. And I can just take them, maybe help them along the way. I don't know if you can say there's a special moment, but when I look back at my coaching staff, I'm very proud that I coached them all and that some maybe lit the fire for them to become a coach and work with young men, and they have done that. And then we have a staff that's tremendous.
Well, Leo, as I guess maybe an unofficial spokesman for the Pioneers, I can only say the simple words, and they don't seem like nearly enough, but thank you, Leo, for all you've given us for so many years.
You're certainly welcome. We love to have you. You're part of our Pioneer family. You always have been. And people always keep saying this. They love listening to you on the radio because it's so good. And you got a lot of good memories. I got a lot of good memories. And hopefully this is a Pierce football tradition. They're going to keep it going. And I believe it will because we got some real, real good coaches. You're going to be a big part of it. I will be in just a lesser role.
Leo Polkamp, head coach, retiring after 33 years at the helm of the Pierce Pioneer football program.
And so there it is. That's the chat I had, the opportunity to sit down with Coach, and that all took place in his office in the locker room. As he was busy, his office was almost floor to ceiling, wall to wall with pads and the uniform, the jerseys, and maybe one last official act as coach was to kind of direct and put all that stuff away. But it was a bittersweet day, to say the least, that head coach Leo Polkamp is stepping down as head coach of the Pioneers, and we certainly wish him well on whatever he hopes to do and chooses to do. He's going to have Friday nights free now in the fall, and he certainly has more than earned it. I cannot express enough or eloquently enough the sentiments of the whole community. I'm watching social media tonight. I posted the announcement on both Facebook and on Twitter, and just the overwhelming responses, not only just locals, but from around the state of Minnesota, from media. Patrick Royce retweeted us. Numerous people in the coaching ranks, Leo's peers, just sending their best wishes. Matter of fact, one of them, Mike Kessler, the head coach of Rochester Lourdes, who will be playing for the Prep Bowl, sent his best wishes, and just pouring in from all over the state into the hundreds of people that have just sent their best wishes and congratulations. And that speaks volumes to the respect that Leo earned. Jeff Passel from Fox News in the cities retweeted it. So, I mean, it and the State High School League has been on it, and they put it on their web page and made it a big kind of a splash page for them. So, Leo is an icon, and he will be missed. He will be around. He's not going away. He's going away in his current role, but he'll be there. We'll see him on Friday nights. We'll see him on the golf course. Maybe if you're out on a lake, you'll see him out there fishing. He'll probably be at wrestling matches. I didn't ask him if he was still going to be running the clock for Coach Toops or not this winter, but Leo will be around, and yeah, he'll be just fine. I guess in the closing part of this, the part I feel worst about, or maybe most melancholy about, is just having seen over my 30 years now of being able to be a part of the program with Leo and his staff, and seeing all the great great players and young men that have gone through the system, and I just feel bad that these young third and fourth graders maybe that are just starting to get an idea. A mom and dad took them down to U.S. Bank Stadium maybe this year, maybe in 2015. Maybe they were 15. They were at TCF Bank Stadium when the Pioneers won the Prep Bowl. And they just are starting to get an idea of what it means to be a part of Pierce football. And unfortunately for them, they will not have the opportunity to play under Coach Polkamp, but they'll come out for football. They'll play under the next best thing, and that's one of the, I'm guessing somebody on that staff is going to take over the reins from Leo. So thanks for listening, everybody. Like I said, it was a kind of a bittersweet day. Thank Dave Rushlow, Dan Sayer, Rick Jablewski, for adding their thoughts. Thanks, Pat Watercott. Just thank everybody that just has commented on social media. And don't know if Leo's on Facebook or not. I know he's on Twitter. I'm not sure if he's on Facebook. He might lurk on Facebook a little bit and check out the comments. But if you see him on the street or see him in the golf course, just, hey, don't be afraid to say hi and thank you to Leo, because certainly well-deserved. So, thanks for listening again, everybody. This has been a You Are There Sports special presentation on the retirement of Hall of Fame head coach Leo Polkamp from the Pierce Pioneers.